never hurt anybody.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It is now hour number two, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, broadcasting live from the fabulously Fukushima irradiated, fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the Agenda 21 experiment extraordinaire. I love this country, especially the first syllable. And my very special guest is John Lebang. It's French for explosion.
Bonjour, monsieur. Comment allez-vous?
Mm. Ça va? Non?
Bien. Okay. Oui. Oui, oui.
Oui, oui, oui. It's like, that's what a Frenchman does when he goes to the toilet. Oui, oui.
Yeah, that's what we do on our break, too.
Yeah, actually. I just call that taking a wiki leak. And occasionally I squeeze something out of my Julian Assange.
How is that guy doing anyways? He doesn't make the news very often anymore. He's hidden out.
I don't know.
He's hiding out. He's just gone.
Is he at a sex change operation, or was that somebody else, or is it becoming kind of trendy?
I don't know if he had a sex change operation. I just don't know.
I just don't know.
Well,
yeah, well, you see, that's what you get for having me on your
show.
Hey, you know, if you can't get a little bit limp-wristed from time to time, life just ain't worth living.
Right. Well, that's right, you know. It's that modern world. If we can't be all metrosexuals at one point or another, what can we be?
Yeah. Metrosexual, is that when you have sex with a building?
No, I think I don't even actually know what a metrosexual is, to be honest with you. I just know the term, you know, so I just thought I'd throw it out there, you know.
Well, see, more or less, it's kind of somebody who's relatively similar looking to me, you know, like does their hair up, uses moisturizer, has nice clothing and so on and so forth, but they've got no body hair. Well shrunken testicles, and the lack of manliness and the more propensity to effeminate obsession with your appearance. That's metrosexual.
Speaking of shrunken testicles. Did you hear the study by PETA that said that mothers who eat chicken wings while they're pregnant are going to end up giving their little boys small weenie wees? Did you read that? I'll have to send you that. Yes. Yes, I just pulled it up here. And women who eat chicken wings while pregnant give birth to boys with smaller penises, according to a shock tactic. Whatever that, I'm not sure what a shock tactic is, but
something that rhymes with shock.
Yeah, according to PETA, you get smaller wee wees if you eat chicken wings, or if mommy eats chicken wings while you're, you're baking in the oven, so to speak. So, guys, maybe it's not good to eat chicken wings. So, don't go to Buffalo Wild Wings if you want to impress your girl.
Yeah.
I'll send you the link.
Okay. I was going to make a joke in there about pedophiles or something like that. Isn't it interesting? A company, an organization like PETA that has lots of files on things, does a study about small boys' penises.
Yeah, well, you know, they're a reputable organization, don't you agree? No,
of course.
Yeah.
You know,
we have lots of reputable.
I mean, you can't study buffalo wings and small penises without being reputable. I mean it's one of the prerequisites.
Mom, why did you eat chicken wings when you were pregnant with me?
Dang it! I gotta deal with this. I gotta deal with it my whole life, man.
I got a baby carrot now. Oh man. Anyways, that's what you get for having me on. See, we just go into weird territory here.
My girlfriend said it's like making love to a cocktail, Frank.
She left me. She left me. I ate too many chicken wings. Dang it. That's it. No more Hooters for you.
Does it specify why or what kind of chicken wings they're talking about? Or is it like a KFC chicken wings or what?
Without having to read the article really quick here, I believe it's one of the chemicals inside, a chemical found inside the bird flesh. Okay. It doesn't specify which one. I will send you this because I'm sure you'll have a good time reading it, because I actually probably laughed for a good 10 minutes while reading it. So you just disappeared on me, young man, by the way.
I think that was actually you that just disappeared.
Really?
My camera just cut out too there. Hold on a second. Yeah, video's turned off. That's unfortunate. Oh, well. I'm getting it on my regular camera anyway, so we can just reconnect and sort that out. It sometimes happens during the live broadcast where you have a little bit of technical issue like that, but sometimes
that's okay.
It'll correct itself. But anyway, now we don't have to worry about being on camera, or at least you don't have to worry about being on camera for the moment, so you can, you know, take your pants off, whatever. And I was also thinking about this. Can we be serious about situations whilst also having fun with them? And I think that that's actually one of the greatest balances ever. And the person who comes to mind is somebody who was incredibly serious, yet incredibly funny and good-humoured and good-natured, was Bill Hicks. You know, he came out with some really just gold stuff that sort of exposed the New World Order agenda. In fact, one of his last gigs, he was talking about the group of people that control the world, who own all the companies and so on and so forth, not long before he died. And
I don't
this. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, it's just when I was a young kid, I think about 20 years old or so, at university, my flatmate introduced me to Bill Hicks. I never heard him before in my entire life. You know, it's like he grew up 20 years and he never heard of Bill Hicks. And if anybody's listening here today and you've not heard of Bill Hicks, please, for the love of, for frack's sake, go to YouTube and type in Bill Hicks or The Sane Man or anything. Anything to do with Bill Hicks is generally pretty good. John, you can probably turn your camera back on now if you click the little camera button. It was something on my end, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Video call malfunction.
This is officially my first Skype call ever, believe it or not. Because of you, I came into the 21st century. And by the way, I don't know much about Bill Hicks, so please tell us more about Bill Hicks. I would like to know.
Okay. Well, he was rising up and becoming rather frack, what the heck is going on with my bloody computer today? It's unbelievable. All right. He was rising up and becoming really famous in the late 80s, early 90s. I think he died in 1994 at age 32, I think, or 33. And he, at the time, was becoming one of the greatest comedians, and in my opinion still is, probably the greatest comedian who ever lived. And he talked about the Iraq War, and this is how he described the Iraq War. There was never a war. We go, well, how can you say that, Bill? Well, a war is when two armies are fighting each other. So you see right there, there was never really a war. And the other things about philosophy that he really got down. He, you know, Kevin Booth, American Drug War, the documentary.
No, I'm sorry, not familiar with him either.
Okay.
Hey, I'm out of the loop.
Well, they were good friends back in the day, and they did this mushroom trip together, and Bill Hicks and one of his other friends who was there, they heard this voice, and it said, "Death is an illusion. Reality is not what it seems. And we are the imagination of ourselves." And they turned to each other and they both heard it. They both heard it. They were tripping balls on mushrooms and they both heard this exact same voice in their head. They had a deeply profound spiritual awakening. And when Bill Hicks ended his comedy sketches, he kind of ended like this, like, the world is like an amusement park. It's got thrills and chills. It's very brightly colored and it's very loud and it's fun for a while. And some people have been on this ride for a long time and they think that it's real. And when somebody comes along and reminds them, no, this is just a ride, they say, well, this has to be real. Look at my bank account and my family. This has to be real. And he goes, no, it's not real. It's just a ride, and we can change it anytime we choose to. It's only a choice between fear and love. And that's
profound.
It.
Profound. Yeah, it's profound.
Oh, and that's only the half of it. You know, I can't... I used to listen to Bill Hicks so much I was able to recite entire kind of hour-long sketches of his, but haven't kept up with the repetition in order to keep that up there. But yeah, he's that good, and he tells a lot of profound things that sort of were key to my awakening as a person. I mean, I'm not a comedian per se. I like to tell a few jokes and make people laugh here and there, but at the end of the day, I'm actually a really serious person, and in general, I'm very, very angry all the time at things. And Bill Hicks was also very angry, but he had these deep ways of really understanding what things were truly about and not letting it get to him.
That's interesting.
And I think it's profound lessons for all of us contained within his comedy. And I believe that people actually, it should be kind of like required listening. You know how in school they had required reading, required viewing, and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
you know?
Required propaganda, but I understand what you're saying.
And I think that it's counterintuitive because you have a look at, say, the politicians speaking and so on and so forth. No, they're not funny. They're not funny, are they? You know, even when George Bush or Barack Obama are trying to like do these speeches at these comedy roasts or whatever, they're just not funny. You know, because they're psychopaths.
Right.
I wouldn't know a good joke of hitting them in the face.
They are a joke, and it's not a funny joke at all. It's a very serious joke. These people, and what you're saying earlier with love and all that, we need more of that. People just do not know how to show love to each other anymore. You say you have this anger in you, but it seems to me you use it in a constructive way and to show love at times. Well, with these guys running the world, I don't think they ever were loved. Maybe they were abused as children. Maybe, who knows what they, but all they know is hate, and they can preach their little love stuff, or they don't really preach love. I don't even know what to call what they preach, but it's
called scumbaggery.
Hate. Scumbaggery, yes, scumbaggery. Perfect way to put it. Yep. And there's a lot of scumbags out there.
Yeah, I do believe that this is the case because I've talked to a lot of politicians, you know, high up politicians. You know, personally, I've spoken to them, and they don't get higher up if they're an honest, decent person, really. And if they are, they don't last long. I've seen so many honest, decent politicians lose their seats in Parliament to complete psychos. And I've seen a lot of psychos get all the way to the top and go even further. You know, like we had a former Prime Minister, Helen Clark, who's the Labor Party head, and she was more or less the driving force and controlling factor of that party for like 20 years, right? No ideas basically got through the party without her say-so. And so when she becomes the Prime Minister, she implements a whole bunch of draconian policies. She tried to make incandescent light bulbs illegal to force people to have energy-saver light bulbs with the mercury in them. She tried to force people to ban vitamins and have them regulated by a pharmaceutical company. So pharmaceutical companies.
Isn't that Agenda 21, basically?
No, it's Codex Alimentarius. But
I'm sorry. Yes, my bad. Codex Alimentarius, great.
And so naturally, dig this, you know, because Codex Alimentarius and Agenda 21 are at the UN, right? And so guess what job she gets after becoming the Prime Minister of New Zealand for 9 years? She becomes head of the UN Development Fund. The third highest position in the UN with a $9 billion budget. And it's like, whoa. So suddenly the international aspect starts to come into full fruition and view, and you realize what happens when you're a psycho, when you're willing to lie, cheat, deceive, and basically have no qualms about people dying because of your actions, you get more promotions than you can freaking handle. If you're a good person, on the other hand, if you always tell the truth, if you always try to help people, if you always try to be the salvation of humanity, you get assassinated.
Sure.
You notice that? Sure.
Yep. That's how it works in all endeavors of mankind now. And I mean, and that's based out of the secret societies. That's how they get promotions and stuff. And that's, I guess, the dirty, rotten people are more trustworthy to the agenda than, or like you say, scumbags are more trustworthy to the agenda than good people who would break the agenda or would try to fight it. And Washington, D.C., what you were talking about later or earlier, where people get into government and then they, even if they're good, they go bad when they get there. It's like a disease. In D.C., I mean, I've gone there. You can just feel the filth. It's such a beautiful city. It's like Rome, right? It's just a beautiful city, but it feels so filthy there.
Well, the city is planned on the outlay of a giant pentagram.
Oh, of course, right, you know.
And it does have a giant Masonic penis pillar in the middle, drawing down Luciferian energy from the sky, according to Freemasonic beliefs. It does have the largest amount per square foot of Masonic lodges out of any city in the world, I think.
I think you are correct. I think you are correct on that.
You know, so you walk into a place, you've got evil coming down from the sky, evil on the floor plan, and evil everywhere you look. If you're a sensitive person, you can feel that. You can, it's actually palpable. You can really, truly feel it. I remember when I got arrested for the first time, I felt that when I walked into the police station, into the cells. And I don't think it was the criminals in the cells that were the product of that evil. I think it was the cops who ran the place. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. .com. Ladies and gentlemen, John LeBang is French for explosion. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the bleed of uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the report?
Welcome back. With the world, people kill people. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening pleasure. And we were speaking over the break about cliches. You know how some people are just like so obviously cliche, like you go to a death metal Satanist band concert or whatever, and surprisingly enough, everybody is really, really pasty, hasn't seen light in like 7 years, and has all of these different attire, you know, like big black boots, black jackets, dog collars, so on and so forth. And you think to yourself, man, these people are a cliche. Do they know? Do they realize that they're a cliche? And no. They don't. Because they never question. You know, they're just walking around and you're like, hold on a second. I've got black boots on, a black coat, and I'm really pasty, and I'm wearing makeup, and I'm really depressed. Oh my God, I'm a cliche.
Metal man, come on, metal man. Hey.
You know, metal man, like on Wizard of Oz. And the thing is, they don't question their own existence. They don't question who it is they are and what it is that they're doing. And it's the philosophy of the cosmic schmuck. Cosmic meaning big, schmuck meaning idiot. If you never question to yourself, you know, am I the cosmic schmuck? Then it's quite likely that you are. If you're constantly questioning, you know, am I becoming the cosmic schmuck here? Then it's very unlikely you'll actually turn into one, all right? And it's that self-analysis, that kind of thing that keeps you at bay. Even Julius Caesar, I think, he had no men. You know, most leaders nowadays, they're surrounded by yes men. Julius Caesar allegedly surrounded himself with no men to tell him, no, you're stepping over the bounds, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, and to keep him down to earth so he wouldn't become corrupted. And unfortunately, it didn't work, allegedly. And This is the interesting thing. It's because not only do you need to do a whole lot of self-analysis, a constant revisiting. Have I gone insane? Am I getting too angry? Am I becoming too full of myself? These are the very important questions that people often don't ask because they fear that the answer might be yes.
Are you talking about Obama?
Well, I guess it's an archetype, really. It's everywhere.
Right. But, you know. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and it's true. If you don't question what you're doing and who you are all the time, you're definitely going to get full of yourself. You're gonna get big egoed, and you're going to think you're your stuff doesn't stink. You know, you're just going to be all, hey, man, I'm the coolest in the world, and everybody loves me, and that's the way it is. And if you don't love me, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a jerk, because I'm the best thing on the planet. Yeah, baby. Huh. Sorry. Yeah.
I think you should have been wearing the pimp hat when you said that. Here we go. It's going to be working.
Yeah, baby. Hey, I'm the coolest thing on the planet, baby. Hey, whoa, wait, let me turn it because that looks, there we go. Where's my feather? There's no feather. I don't know. There was a feather on here at one time. So
anyways, man, what are you doing over there? We're having a good time over here on the radio. And we're, you know, and I'm full of myself. Didn't you know that?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go down to Washington, D.C. and change the whole world. Yeah, just like that. And then everybody's going to love me. And then nobody's going to like me.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's surprising, though, is if you go out there and you try to make everybody love you and you're not a completely manipulative psychopath, people won't love you. If you are, on the other hand, somebody who feels nothing for others and is adept at telling them what they want to hear and manipulating them and enchanting them, they will love you, but they won't realize who you really are and what you're really doing, because not only do they not question that about themselves, they don't question that about you either, do they?
Yes, we can.
So many blind followers, man. And see, the only people who got change from Obama are the homeless.
No, I got change. I got like 25 cents left, something like that. I don't know. I don't have much. I don't have any bills left, but I got change. I got quarters and stuff like that, you know, nickels.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure you'll have some bills soon, man. They'll be in the mail.
Isn't that what he meant, is we'd all have like change in our hands, right? He didn't mean anything else, right? Because it hasn't changed.
Here's the thing. I really hate that word. You know why? Because every single fracking time that there is a political stoush or campaign, every single fracking person uses that same fracking motto every single time. It's unbelievable. Okay, so you go. Let me just calm down for a second here. All right, fracking. I'm not going to be calm. No, I'm not going to be calm. I'm not going to be calm. Okay, 2008. We've been under Labor government for 9 years in New Zealand. Okay, they've done a whole bunch of draconian stuff, full-on nanny state, right? What is the National Party, the Blue Party, campaign on? We campaign on change. 2008. George Bush, been in power for 8 years. Number of illegal wars, illegal wiretaps, warrantless searches and stuff like that on U.S. citizens. Barack Obama comes out. And what does he campaign on? Change. And then this year, Australian election, been under a Labor government for like 8 years or something like that. And Tony Abbott comes out and tries to run against the current Prime Minister, Tony Rudd. What's his campaign pledge again?
Change. This way.
Change. So it doesn't. And the people before them, okay? George Bush promised change. George W. Bush promised change after from Bill Clinton. And so on and so forth, all the way down the track. Everybody's voting for change. Isn't that interesting? And they never fracking get it, yet they keep fracking fighting for it.
It's the same thing as using the word progress. I hate that word like you hate change. Because guess what? Cancer progresses, and that isn't good. Why do you think other governmental progress would be good for any of us? Now that makes me scream. I hate the word progress. And of course, the ultimate word, comprehensive. you know, when they're using comprehensive, you're getting screwed every which way you possibly can.
Yeah.
It was comprehensive. Oh, great. Thanks. I really needed that. Oh, you just bounced up over there. Hey, I just fell away there for just a minute. Hey, what's up? Hey, what's going on?
That sounds like your comprehensive voice.
Yeah, that's my comprehensive voice. We're going to make comprehensive change here in the United States, and that means everybody's going to have health care, but your taxes are going to go up. And guess what? You know, it's just change, you know? And I know how Vinny likes change very much over there. And so, like, it's a comprehensive change, and my phone keeps ringing, so I'm going to shut the damn thing off. And, you know, it's this comprehensive change, and that means you're totally getting screwed in every way possible.
Can I say screwed?
That's the case. That's the case, isn't it? Every single time we want change, it's change for the worse. Every time we want something comprehensive, it's incomprehensible.
Right. Comprehensive just means you're going to get it every way possible, and it's never going to be good. And do you ever notice, this is my biggest problem, I'm not sure how many parties are in New Zealand, but we're going to take the states. We have the two major parties. When they agree on something, we know the people are going to get hosed big time here in the United States. If both sides are agreeing on something, that's it, folks. It's done. You bend over. It's coming out your wallet and in back through somewhere else. We'll just leave it at that.
It is the case. Now, can you get disillusioned with politics to the point where you no longer want to participate in it? What's the voting turnout in the United States now? Like 15%, 20%, 30% maybe?
It's not much.
It's ridiculous.
Yep, and that's part of the problem is people not being engaged. They just give up. And one of those people I talked about waking up earlier on, they are talking about giving up on the whole thing, not voting anymore. And I'm like, that's not what I was trying to get to you. I'm just saying you can't, just because somebody has a D in front of their name doesn't mean they're for what they claim they're for. And just because they have an R in front of the name doesn't mean they're conservative. That's the whole liberal conservative thing. It's ridiculous. Tell me what is so liberal about protecting the environment. Really, the word liberal means, you know, if I'm spending my money liberally, what am I doing? I'm throwing it out, right? So you should be all for drilling and all this if you're liberal, right? Now, if you're conservative, you should be for less. I mean, that's what conservative means. Not spending, not getting in there. It's like nobody understands even the words anymore. And that's a big problem right now is people don't even know definitions of words anymore. I'm conservative. Oh, really? Bombing the hell out of Iraq is conservative. Really? Okay. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. See, I feel I'm more
getting the country into monumental amounts of debt. That's conservative.
Oh, yeah, sure. Right. Yeah. Well, I think we're at $17 trillion, what they say on the books, even though I just read something that...
Several quadrillion.
Right. Right. Well, if you're counting the Federal Reserve, you know, and what we might owe them for every dollar they've ever printed, I mean, it's there's probably not a computer that can add up all those numbers in the world.
Yeah. Well, see, people have been dumbed down, and this is something that people need to realize. You're dumb, okay? No, seriously, I don't mean this as an insult. Just try and realize the simple, obvious truth. You've been living in a system your entire life that inexorably makes you dumb. Okay, just imagine for a moment that you realize that I'm freaking stupid. I'm so dumb that I don't know how dumb I really am. Once you come to that realization, only then will you start to become a little bit more intelligent, because then you know you've got a problem that you need to work on.
Right. And I always say, listen, I don't know anything. I just ask questions. I do not. I mean, I don't have answers to anything out there in the world. It's hard to find an answer to fix every little problem. But I have a lot of questions. And I bet when you ask these questions to the right people, they can't answer them. Or they give you those shuck and jive kind of like things Obama will give you or Bush gives you, you know, that I'm not sure what a good term is for it, but they just give you the BS. Okay, sure. You know, they just give you the BS statement and say, hey, you know, that's what you get. And people eat the BS. They grab it on big plates, pour it on there, get some gravy, maybe some salt and pepper, because sometimes, you know, it's a little, you know, it needs flavor. And then you eat the BS up. Hey, and that's healthy for you. Didn't you know that? BS is healthy for you. It's the it's great for you that you trust all these guys in Washington. Hey, and they'll feed you BS, and it's always been that way. When has a politician not fed you BS? I can't, Kennedy was pretty good, you know, at times, but I mean, right. But really that's the dish they serve the country. Here's a nice heaping plate of BS for you. Enjoy it. And if you want more, we can give it to you.
They don't even serve it to you on a plate, man. There's a trough.
Okay. Sure. Right.
Yeah. And the mainstream media fills the trough, every day. From a big hose that's connected to a tank full of BS, and that's what the public are always feeding out of. You know, you come to the trough, and before you know it, you're fat, you're dumb, you're lazy, and you're apathetic, and then they frickin' gotcha.
Yeah, nowhere else to go. Then
you'll never change anything, let alone yourself. And if you want to change anything, that's the first thing you have to change.
Hmm. I agree with you 100%. And the media is probably the biggest problem on the planet, because they are supposed to be the ones that keep everybody in check, to keep the governments in check. And forget about it.
They're not doing it because they're getting a check from the government.
Right. You got CNN faking coverage of places they're at, like Tel Aviv, but it's a green screen room, and he's sitting there, what's his name, Anderson Crapper or Cooper or
Anderson
whatever.
Anderson Cooper, yeah.
Yeah. And he's sitting there in front of a green screen and acting like he's in Tel Aviv. Well, if they're going to go that far to BS, you know everything else has got to be BS along with it.
Yeah. Viva la Tel Aviv. You know, it is quite sad. And as a media guy myself, it's the reason why I started doing what I'm doing, is because I realized that me by myself, with no training, no credibility, no plan, no suit, no frickin' nothing, I'm overqualified to be a member of the media.
But if you're here in the U.S., they're trying to classify who is part of the media. I forgot which senator was talking about. Maybe it was John McCain, you know, the warmonger guy or whatever. But they were talking about specifically who is actual media or not. And you know who they're picking as the media. You and I are not going to be considered media at all. We're troublemakers or whatever it might be. But it's, you know, you get the Anderson Coopers or what's his name? Hannity might be considered a media guy. What's it? Sean Hannity, dude, you know.
Hannity, who looks like a manatee.
Yeah, he's another one that's very close. He's a little more like Frankenstein than he is Lurch, but he's...
Yeah, we are coming to a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after this short commercial break. Final segment coming up with John Lebang. Back in a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's my final segment with Jean LeBlanc.
Comment allez-vous?
He's kind of like Matt LeBlanc, except he's Jean LeBlanc. Yeah, now, you have a website?
Yes, it's www.jlebang.com. That's JLEBANG.com. And that has all kind of my music on there and my shows on there. And the replays anyways, and all kinds. I do a little morning show on YouTube called The Daily Brew, and that covers all the daily headlines that happen and many other little tidbits on there that might interest people.
Surely not all the headlines, but some of them.
Oh, right. Not all the headlines. I'm not the Drudge Report or anything.
But it would be cool to actually... I don't know about you, but I've got a real anger at the media kind of thing. Like, I've got a grudge against them. And I was just thinking, you know, we have a website, The Grudge Report, where you basically you just sit there and you rip seven colors of Shiite Muslim out of the media.
Sure.
And these media people. In fact, I was got a message back from Ian Wishart the other day. He's a guy who wrote Aircon, how the global warming thing and the New World Order. He was one of New Zealand's most credible journalists. You know, he's the host of the Sunday program, our equivalent of 60 Minutes. In fact, we also have 60 Minutes. But he had assassination attempts on his life because he was uncovering some real hardcore like banking scumbaggery and stuff like that. And so he just like quit the media totally, started going independent, writing his own books, publishing his own magazine, his own material, and everything like that. He's like fracked the media. And he told me during the interview what journalists are actually really like. And he says, you know, point blank, they're airheads. They're actually just freaking idiots in mm-hmm. suits. They look real nice. And they're freaking stupid, and they just repeat BS. You know, that's all they are. And yet, here's the thing that really frustrates me. Activists, you know, activists who are aligned with, say, my mode of thinking, they try and court the media, right? And I'm just thinking, how long does it take, and what does it take, before you start to realize that the media aren't worth your attention? And even if they did give you some attention, it wouldn't be enough. And it wouldn't be in any way truthful, honest, 100%. Boom, you know. Then again, if you refuse all media coverage, then you become a pariah, don't you? So there's this balancing act. Because I had, I've had two journalists in this in the studio, interview me and put me in their newspapers and so on and so forth, riddled with inaccuracy, mind you. And I could see that they weren't, you know, totally all there in terms of my mode of thinking, i.e. truth, honour, discipline, respect, challenging yourself, that kind of thing. Like, they're not quite there yet. You know how when you meet somebody and you realise that they're not quite grown up?
You mean half the American public?
90% of the American public.
Okay, sure. All right. I was trying to give some people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I don't think we should give anybody the benefit of the doubt anymore. And speaking of which, it's funny you should mention that, because I was just thinking that this morning when I woke up. It's like giving politicians the benefit of the doubt, giving the government the benefit of doubt. Why am I thinking about that? And here's the thing. How long do you have to give somebody the benefit of the doubt before you start doubting them because they've completely betrayed the benefit?
In 2013, we should be, most of us should be there by now. Don't you think?
Mm.
We should, there should be no benefit of the doubt anymore with politicians, especially the media. With the media, I take in as much as I can. And all I do is I siphon it down to what the common things are, and everything else to me is BS. If because you get this right, left, and all this, but when something concurs, that's probably at least close to the truth. That you kind of get out of this left right paradigm thing, and then you if both sides are reporting this one little tidbit that's the same, then you could probably say, okay, that's probably close to the truth. The other stuff is BS. Don't you think? I mean,
I don't know. I think it's the opposite way around. When I see two, like we've really only got two news channels here, TV1 and TV3, network news. And what's interesting is you can flip between them. The head story is the exact same. Second story is the exact same. Third story is the exact same. Fourth story is the exact same. And then you switch over to Prime News, you know, sort of a little over to the side. First story is the exact same. Second story is the exact same. And then you go to Māori News, you know, like native Māori New Zealander news. It's done in the Māori language.
Okay.
First story is the same. Second story is the same. Third story is the same. Then you look up, then you listen to the radio. First story is the same. Second story is the same. They're all reporting the exact same frickin' thing. Okay, and this reminds me of something a listener of mine, Vincent, who I respect gratefully. He defended me a lot on Facebook the other day from somebody trying to defame me. And he said to me, you know how we cover our shows with a bit of comedy, John, right?
Right.
And he says, like, Vinny, why don't you just try and be a bit more serious or whatever? And I go, well, maybe you don't understand what you're asking of me. Can you name me one other radio show host in New Zealand that manages their show with a degree of comedy of that perspective? And he's like, no, I can't. So what you're really asking me is, Vinny, why can't you be exactly like everybody else?
Vinny, why can't you? Because you don't want to, do you? You want to separate yourself from the crowd because, well, that gives you some integrity, right? Don't you think?
I don't know. It's almost like I'm 6 foot four, so I stand out in the crowd anyway.
Sure.
I mean,
you're pretty tall.
I can't be anything else but what I am.
Right. But no, I agree. I mean, that's the same with me. I do my thing. I have my little skits on my show and that's what I do. And I can't be like anybody else because, well, I'm John and that's who I am. And if you don't like it, hey, there's talk shows all over the place. I mean, it's the world of talk shows now, is it not? I mean, it's unbelievable the amount, but I mean, it's great because we have the internet and it's gotten off this terrestrial radio type thing. But if you're not yourself, you're just somebody else. And what good is that?
Yeah, I mean, how many of this? Okay, so just think about this for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. When was the last time you had a totally original thought? Oh, it's been a long time, hasn't it? Yeah. And don't you think that there's something inherently wrong with that? That original thoughts aren't coming fast and hard all day, every day? Your inventions, your ability to think, create, so on and so forth. There's a reason why that part of you has been diminished into almost nothingness. It's because we're absorbing everybody else's ideas. Even right now, you're absorbing my ideas, my thoughts, my talking, my thinking here. You're not doing it for yourself. And the way that I've kind of come to grips with this is you say, this person says that, I'll assume for a moment that they don't have any credibility. Now think about what I think about that. What do I actually think about that? Can I deconstruct it? Do I know the origin of these words? Have they been spoken before throughout humanity? You know the old saying that there's nothing new under the sun? I think that holds to be true. There really isn't a whole lot of originality out there, and even less so now because we have mass media, mass entertainment, mass this, mass that, mass the other, that individuality has slipped hard, okay? Like, you know how sometimes you slip and you graze your knee? This isn't one of those moments. This is the time when you slip and you fall downstairs and you break your spine in like six places and you need like several titanium screws in order to pull yourself back together. That's the condition of individuality now. We've been indoctrinated for a long freaking time to destroy our creativity, to destroy our originality, to make us in the image of something that is not ourselves.
Well, that's kind of the agenda of the New World Order, isn't it? Not one amalgamation, is that the word, of people that everybody thinks alike, does the same thing. It's the, like you said, the destruction of individuality. And I don't know how to get us away from that. I mean, it's been so long, you see it every day. So all I can, it's the question of the ages. How do we get back to being individuals?
Well, it's easy. You have a look at whatever's going down now and do the direct opposite.
Oh, okay? Sure.
Everybody going to a Justin Bieber concert. Don't go to the freaking concert. Go to a go to a rockabilly club or something of that nature. Everybody watching mainstream media. Don't watch mainstream media. Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show.
There you go.
Listen to the John LeBang show. Everybody's going to see this new movie that's come out with Matt Damon called Elysium or whatever. Don't go see that movie. Go see an independent artistic film or something of that nature. Or go through archives of online uploaded, illegally downloaded frickin' movies or whatever and watch something from the 50s or the 80s or the 1960s version of the Manchurian Candidate or something like that. Do the exact opposite of everything that everybody else is doing. Everybody else poisoning themselves with fast food? Buy organic. Everybody else is drinking fluoridated water? Buy filtered water, so on and so forth. It's so easy to release the power of the individual. You just got to realize that you're not like everybody else. John, thank you very much for coming on the show with me today. And we've got about maybe 20 seconds here for some final words of wisdom and your website.
JLeBang.com again. And listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show all the time because it's awesome. I've been listening for, you know, here and there for about a week. And I don't have many words of wisdom outside of saying, just think for yourself.
We'll be right back again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.